Last Sunday, I spoke on the suffering of the Savior. I want to follow that with a resurrected Savior from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But let me ask you a few questions as we begin. What if there were no resurrection? Would it really matter? Would it make a difference in your spiritual walk? Would it make a difference in your salvation? And would it make a difference in your eternal destiny? What does it change that there is a resurrection? The truth that Jesus rose from the dead is a fundamental cornerstone of our faith. It's unique also to our faith. No other religious figure has ever predicted his own resurrection and then accomplished it. Other religions are based on someone who lived, died, and remains dead. Muhammad was born. Muhammad lived. Muhammad died. Muhammad is still dead. Confucius was born. He lived. He died. He remains dead. Buddha was born. He lived. He died. He remains dead. Jesus was born. He lived. He died. But Jesus Christ is alive. He is the only one. The only one who could both create life, give life, take life, and raise himself up again. He is unique in that alone. There is no other that can make that claim. And if any of them did in the past, we know that they were false because they remain dead. Only Jesus Christ could accomplish such a deed. The fact that Jesus Christ is risen is not up for debate in Christianity. The New Testament preachers and the authors spoke of it as plain known fact. 2 Timothy 2:8 just simply says, Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Not we hope that Christ arose. We think that Christ arose. It was a known, plain statement of fact. Jesus Christ risen from the dead. It's central to all of the sermon in Acts. Every sermon in the book of Acts speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 2, it says that of the peoples, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Jesus rose, and he will raise his people. And that's where the Sadducees had a hearty disagreement. There is no resurrection. Once you're dead, you're dead. And they were very disturbed, very upset that the apostles were preaching. Not only did Jesus raise himself from the dead, but he will also raise his people from the dead. The chapter of 1 Corinthians describes in great detail the importance of the resurrection of the Savior. And what is happening in this chapter is some people in the church of Corinth were saying that the dead could not raise again. So Paul had to address them. But he calls them saints, so we know that they are believers, but they're being misled, someone is teaching wrongly, or some people are getting confused, and Paul has to remind them of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, that some of them might have believed that Jesus was risen, but no one else would, because Jesus was God, so of course, he could raise himself from the dead, but all of his people that have died will remain dead. And their problem was that what happened to the saints in their church when they died? So Paul is assuring them that not only is the resurrection of Jesus a sure thing, that it did happen 100%, but that because Jesus rose himself from the dead, the saints in Christ who have slept, who have died, will also be raised from the dead, because therein is our hope. Because if we die here on this earth and we do not raise from the dead, we are lost. We are nothing. We have no eternity with a great Savior. Our assurance in our eternity is not just the death and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is the resurrection of Himself from the dead. Because without the resurrection, the sacrifice was for naught. It was not accepted. But Jesus was worthy. He was the Lamb without spot, without blemish. So God accepted the one and only pure sacrifice. And the proof of His acceptance is the raising of Jesus from the dead. Because the sacrifice was worthy. The sacrifice was perfect. The sacrifice was holy. Without the resurrection of the dead, there are several things. One, Jesus was a liar. Two, you are not saved. You are still today, right now, wallowing and loving your sins. You live in darkness. You are destined for darkness, and you have no hope, no future. All that you have is right now in this life. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. And that's it. But we know, and the apostles assured us and gave us factual proof that Jesus did raise from the dead. You see, in the first few verses of chapter 15, verses 5 through 8, he gives a list of people who saw, who can prove. Cephas saw Jesus risen from the dead. Then the 12 apostles saw Jesus risen from the dead. Then over 500 people saw Him at one time. So that their claim, you know why that's important at one time? So that the claim is verified. This one person didn't see Him alone, this one alone, this one alone. 500 people at the same time saw a risen Savior. He was seen of James, the apostles. He was seen of Paul, born out of due time. Paul, on the road, when he was knocked off, blinded, he didn't just see a bright light. He saw the glorified, risen Savior in person. It was Jesus Christ on the road showing Himself to Paul. Yes, it was a bright light because Jesus was glorified. He was in His perfection as He was before He came to this earth. As John 17:5 says, Lord, I was with before You in glory. And He shows Himself to Paul in all of His glory. In all of His glory. It is affirmed, it is assured, we all saw Him. Even some, He says, some that are still alive saw Him, and some have slept. And He's assuring them of those that have slept, that saw that risen Savior, knew that they too would arise again. And that was their hope. They had no fear in death, as we will see in the end of chapter 15. There is no fear in death. There's earthly sadness and death, but there is eternal glorification and joy in that same death, because those that are dead shall rise again. So let's look at how this is fundamental to our faith. No resurrection, no Christianity. If there is not a resurrection, you have no religion. You have no faith. There is no such thing as Christianity other than a bunch of nuts coming together on a beautiful Sunday to sit in a building when you could be outside. Because if the resurrection is not true, then this right here today is completely a waste of your time. It is useless to us if there is no resurrection. The resurrection of Christ proves several things to us. First, it proves that the sacrifice and the suffering of the Savior on the cross, it proves that it was worthy because of His holiness. The resurrection proves the holiness of Jesus Christ. Psalm 16:10, David is writing, and he's speaking of himself a couple of times in the Psalms, but then he says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Now go to Acts chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. And this shows us that David was not speaking of himself. "And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption." What is that saying? David's body rotted in the grave. It was corrupted. David died. The apple of God's eye. Saw corruption. He died. Great and mighty king. God used him mightily. The Psalms are powerful and beautiful. David served God, served his people. But he died, and he saw corruption. David's body is still in the ground. David's body is still there, and he saw corruption. But Jesus would not see corruption because Jesus was holy. God would not let his Holy One see corruption. As much as he loved David, as much as he loves the apostles, as much as he loves his saints, they will all of us, our bodies will be corrupted in the grave. But Jesus was holy. And his body could not. God would not allow his Holy One to be corrupted, to see corruption. The resurrection proves that Jesus was holy. If Jesus was not the Holy One foretold of through the prophets, then Jesus would not be raised. He would have been just another man that lived, suffered, died, and remained dead. But he is holy. So the resurrection proves Jesus is holy. The resurrection proves Jesus' deity and his power. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, speaking of Jesus, it says, declared to be the Son of God, proving his deity, with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection proved that Jesus was the Son of God. It was the proof. The cross was not the proof that Jesus was the Son of God. The cross was the necessary sacrifice for the Son of God, but it did not prove he was the Son of God, because if he had died on the cross and remained dead, he would not be proven the Son of God. But he went to the cross to be the Lamb. And the proof that he was the Son of God was that God raised him from the dead. It proves the power of God through Christ. That same verse, Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power. Jesus is the one with the power of resurrection. Jesus was not a helpless dead soul. Jesus was not a helpless dead body, hoping that his sacrifice was good enough and hoping that God the Father would raise him. Jesus had the power of resurrection. And the resurrection proved that he was not only the Son of God, but he had the power over life and death. Without the resurrection, there is no proof that Jesus had power. Without the resurrection, there is no proof of his deity. The resurrection proves that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was full of all power. The resurrection following that proves Jesus' claims about himself. Jesus claimed that he would be raised on the third day. He says that in Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Mark chapter 9, verse 31, Mark chapter 10, verse 34. In all three places, he says that the Son of God would be killed and that he would raise again from the dead. It proves Jesus' claims. Let's look at just one of those. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Mark chapter 8, 31. I'm in Matthew. It'd help if I went to Mark. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. 9:31, for he taught his disciples, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men. They shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise on the third day. That goes back to Jesus proving his power. It wasn't, he shall be suffered, he shall be killed, and then he hopefully will be risen on the third day. Jesus is declaring it will happen, because Jesus is the one that was going to make it happen. Without the resurrection, Jesus' claims were false. Could he predict his own death? Sure. A lot of people can predict their own death. A lot of people know that they might die if they go do a certain thing. Could he predict that he would die? Yes. Could he, with as much confidence, predict, declare that he would both die and raise again from the grave? Only the one with the power over life and death could make such a bold claim. The resurrection proves Jesus' claims. And the resurrection proves his absolute sovereignty over all life and death. John chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. God declared that Jesus would take his life and raise his life. Now, did Jesus kill himself? No. Someone nailed him to the cross. They beat him. They brutalized him. But Jesus, through the entire period, had full control. That's why on the cross, when he said it was finished, he wasn't saying, I give up. I can't take this anymore. He was saying, I have accomplished what I came to do. And then it does not say, it's very clear in the words, it does not say, and then Jesus died, or Jesus dropped dead. It says he gave up the ghost. Jesus, that's not just a play on words or just an accident that it's worded that way. Jesus gave up the ghost. He gave his life. He was in full control when his spirit left his body. He caused his spirit to leave his body when his work was accomplished. And in that same power to control when and exactly how his spirit would leave his body, with that exact same power, he raised himself from the dead after 3 days. Because he had already predicted. They wanted signs. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. He said, you're a wicked generation. The only sign you will receive is the sign of Jonah. What's the sign of Jonah? Would Jesus be swallowed by a whale? No, Jonah was in the belly of the whale, in the depths, as it were, hell. Just despair. For how long? 3 days. That's the sign. I'm not giving you a sign except for the sign of Jonah. Jesus knew exactly how long it would take, or how long he would wait from his death to his resurrection. It just proves another one of Jesus' claims. It proves another bit of his power. I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to raise it again, and he did it with all knowledge, all assurity, all power after 3 days to show them the sign. He also said that this temple will be destroyed and it will be risen in 3 days. He wasn't talking about the physical temple, which is what they thought he was talking about. How in the world? It took them years to build this massive temple. You're going to have it knocked down and built in 3 days. They did not understand. Even the apostles didn't understand. He gave them the signs, and he was showing and proving that he has absolute, without doubt, without question, absolute sovereignty over all life and all death. In Colossians, it speaks of the creation. And in referencing Christ, by his hands were all things made. Jesus Christ, his hands created this earth. Jesus Christ gave life to all living. Jesus Christ has full authority over when you are born, when you take your first gasp of air, and when you give your last breath. Jesus has full control. But it's not just over you, it was over himself as well, that he could take his life and raise it again. He has absolute sovereignty. That is what the resurrection proves. Because without the resurrection, Jesus made some wild and crazy claims. But they were not wild and crazy. They were holy and sovereign because he had declared it from the beginning that it would be so. The resurrection proves this. The scriptures, the written word of God, breathed out by God himself to holy men. The resurrection proves that this is true. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and he was buried according to the Scripture, and that he rose again according to the Scripture on the third day according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures had foretold of it. If Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, the Scriptures are false. If Jesus Christ did not raise again from the dead on the third day, the Scriptures were false. Generations of generations of generations of thousands of years of people would have wasted their times preserving Scripture, writing Scripture, reading Scripture, and memorizing Scripture if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead on the third day. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves the Scriptures to be true. Now let's go to verse 13 of the same chapter. And let's see what our life is like without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without a resurrected Savior, the focal point of our religion, the focal point of our beliefs, of our Christianity, with him dead in the grave, what would happen? Let's start in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, which is what he's saying we've been preaching, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? This goes back to some of the false teachings. Well, maybe Christ was raised, but nobody else was. Or maybe no one was, not even Christ. But Paul is saying, we've been preaching of the resurrection, but how are you saying now that there is no resurrection? So he's saying, let's look. If there's no resurrection, if the dead cannot come to life, which, if you think about it a little bit, if they go back to Jesus' walk on earth, What did he do multiple times? He raised people from the dead. Look at Lazarus. He rose Lazarus from the dead. The result was they sought to kill him and Lazarus because they didn't want it proven. So even in their seeing it and knowing it, they had a blind hatred for Jesus Christ. They had a blind hatred, a refusal to accept who he was. So they sought to just kill him and Lazarus and pretend like it never happened. Because you can't be raised from the dead. They've been saying it all along. What would it look like for them? There is no resurrection. Well, Jesus just raised Lazarus. Well, go kill him. There's no resurrection. Don't prove me false. And now they're saying it again. The teachings are coming back. So in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And he's saying, church, think about this. What is it like for you today if Christ is not risen? If Christ be not risen, then there are several things. First, our preaching is vain. I am just a babbling fool on this pulpit if Jesus Christ is not raised. I am wasting energy, wasting time. Wasting time it takes to study. Wasting energy it takes to stand up here and preach. This is vain. It's useless. If Jesus didn't raise from the grave, then I'm an idiot. Because I'm standing up here before you preaching something that's not true. What kind of idiot does that? Declares with all assurity that something is true when you know it's not. Your preaching is vain. Christ is not raised, then our preaching is... could just be me being prideful. I want you to listen to me for 45 minutes. I just want you to listen to me. Watch me talk. That's what I want, because Jesus isn't risen, so just look at Titus and admire. It's vain. It's useless. Your faith is pointless if Jesus is not risen. If Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. It's useless. It's pointless. Why in the world are you sitting here today? Especially at daylight savings time when we all had to get up an hour earlier, tired, and say, ah, oh, get the kids, hurry up, let's go, let's go. That's pointless. Why would you do that? Why would you rush yourself on a beautiful Sunday morning to get dressed, to get your kids up, say, I know you're tired. I hate daylight savings time too. I wish they would change the laws, because we all said that this morning. And then rush to church, sing for 30 minutes, and then listen to me sit up here and babble on for however long it takes. That's pointless. If Jesus is not risen. But you're here today, sitting in these seats, and I'm standing here today to declare something that is without doubt true. Jesus Christ is a resurrected Savior. Amen. It is true. I'm declaring it true because God declared it true and the Scriptures declared it true. And Jesus Christ has proved it to be true, and you believe it because you're sitting here today. Because God opened your eyes to see Him and see His beauty and see His glory, and you want to experience it. You want to learn more about Him. You want to know Him more. You want a deeper understanding and love of God, so you come to hear His truths every Sunday morning because you know He is risen. You know He did not see corruption. You know He is not in a grave. You know without a shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ is a resurrected Savior. Because what would happen without that truth? Look at 16 and 17. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And here's the result. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. You are not justified. You have not been declared righteous if Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave. Because what did we say earlier? The proof that God accepted the holy sacrifice of the spotless Lamb without blemish, Jesus Christ. The proof is that He was raised from the dead, that God accepted His sacrifice. If He did not raise, you are not righteous. Think about that for a moment. Let that sink in. If Jesus is not raised, there is no justification for you ever. You will never, ever be holy. You will never, ever be righteous. You will never, ever be glorified. And you will never, ever live eternally with God Almighty. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, you are in your sins forever. Always without hope. And look to verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, they're perished. There is no eternal life without a risen Savior. Believers who are died, you know what perished means? They're lost. Forever. Lost. Sheep with no shepherd. You're lost without a risen Savior. No hope. No future. This is it. This is all you get. This life. That's it. Without a risen Savior. If Jesus is not risen, and I don't mean if you don't believe He is not risen, but if Jesus is in fact not risen, then get up right now and walk out the doors. Go live your life. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. And that is it. You're done. But we know that Jesus is risen. We know without a doubt that He lives. We know that He is at the right hand of God now, interceding on your behalf. He is the great high priest. He was the perfect sacrifice. He broke the veil of separation between you and God. Not because He just died, but because He was the perfect sacrifice and He rose again from the grave. You cannot have the cross without the resurrection. The Scriptures say, God forbid that I glory in anything except the cross of Christ, because it was the perfect sacrifice. But that same writer who wrote that is also writing this. Paul wrote that Galatians 6:14. God forbid I glory in anything save the cross of Christ. But he also wrote to the Corinthians, without the resurrection after the cross of Christ, you are doomed. You are hopeless, and this is useless. There is no eternal life without a resurrected Savior. But what if it was just Him that rose? No. Paul is also assuring you that because Jesus rose, you shall rise again. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits. The first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, because of Adam's sin, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And Paul is not just referencing your spiritual life, your spirit ascending into heaven. He is talking about your full resurrected body meeting with your spirit in perfection for all eternity. Because Christ rose, you shall rise again. He guarantees you that you will rise again from the dead, from corruption in the grave. David's corrupted body shall rise to meet his spirit, and in that moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he shall be made whole. So shall you. Charles Spurgeon, on this topic, says, "The resurrection of Jesus is the keystone of the ark of our holy faith. If you take the resurrection away, the whole structure lies in ruins. The death of Christ, albeit that it is the ground of our confidence for the pardon of our sin, would not have furnished such a foundation had he not risen from the dead. Were he dead still, his death would have been like the death of any other person, and would have given us no assurance of acceptance." End quote. Without the resurrection, the death on the cross could not have accomplished what it was meant to do. It had to have the resurrection. It had to have the resurrection. This resurrection is our hope. Hope by the resurrection. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 4 says, "Blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." Your hope is based on the resurrection of Christ. He was merciful in that he loved us and he brought us to life unto a lively hope, a living hope, a right now hope within us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that hope brings us to an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, meaning it is not going anywhere. It is sure. As sure as I'm standing here in front of you right now, as sure as you are sitting in those seats right now, so shall your inheritance be. It is that sure. It is not a maybe that it will happen. It is a lively hope, a full knowledge that you will be incorruptible in heaven eternally with a risen Savior. This resurrection assures us because the same Spirit that raised Jesus brings us to life. Romans 8, verse 11 says, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you." The same God that created this earth, the same God who breathed life into everyone, the same God who came down to this earth, humbled, and walked perfectly, and willingly gave his life, and raised himself from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and now seated at the right hand of God, the same Spirit opened your eyes to see his beauty, and that exact same Spirit will raise your mortal body, your mortal bodies, not just your spirit, your mortal bodies will be raised again. And it also means, this resurrection means for you right now, that sin holds no power over you. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 for a moment. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 11. The resurrection of Jesus Christ assures you that sin has no power over you. Verses 4 and 5 says, we are buried with him in baptism. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Because Christ was raised, the same Spirit that raised him gives you the assurance to walk in this life. Because the same Spirit brought you to life, as Romans 8:11 said. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. He has brought you to spiritual life because he was raised from the dead. The resurrection must have happened for you to be awakened spiritually. Verse 6 through 7, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We have been crucified with Christ. And that Spirit that raised Christ from the dead raised you to a spiritual life in which sin has no power over you. You have the power to not serve sin. You are not in bondage to sin because the Savior is risen. If the Savior did not rise, you are chained. You are handcuffed. You are in bondage to sin forever. But the Savior is risen. Those chains have fallen away from you. You do not have to serve sin. And then verse 8 through 11. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. We know that Christ is raised from the dead. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The same Spirit that brought Jesus from the grave has opened your eyes to see him, to be like him. As Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 32 says, you shall be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ because the Spirit has declared it so and made it be. So let me ask you a practical question before we close. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is the impact of the resurrection on your service to God? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go to... Let's start in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, here is the practical walk for you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because you know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have full confidence that what we're doing right now today is not vanity. It is not useless. Your witnessing to people in the workplace is not vain. Your raising your children in a godly home is not vain. Your praying with one another is not vain. Your daily reading of the Scriptures is not vain. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abounding. Let's close with a quote from Matthew Henry. He says, "The doctrine of Christ's death and resurrection is the foundation of Christianity. Remove this, and all our hopes for eternity sink at once. And it is by holding this truth firm that Christians stand in the day of trial and are kept faithful to God. We believe in vain unless we keep in the faith of the gospel." End quote. What is he saying? If you aren't sure of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the trials come, you will fade away. You will stumble and you will fall. Hold firm to this truth. Hold firm to a resurrected Savior. Our righteousness in the sight of God is sure because of the resurrection. His resurrection is the very basis of your life and hope. The assurance of our future resurrection is now in place. Without the resurrection, we are lost. We are eternally doomed, and mankind has no hope, nothing to look to. But He is risen, and you know it. Rest assured that you are now eternally alive in Him. Hold to that truth. Let's pray. Holy Father, Lord, we pray.